welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Hallelujah. Our scriptures today are in Matthew chapter 24 and 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Matthew chapter 24 and 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is the day when an actual Bible would come in handy, amen? Because you can kind of put something in 1 Corinthians 7 to hold that place, hallelujah. Technology can't do everything. Of course, somebody's working on that. They're going to have that screen divided up for us real soon. Amen. Amen. Might be one of y'all in here that designs that program. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24 and 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And when I read the scriptures for you, I'm going to be reading Matthew 24 from 37 to 44. Especially for those who are taking notes. Matthew 24, 37 through 44 is what I'll read. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm going to read verses 29 through 31. So that's Matthew 24, 37 to 44, and 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 31. And I'll be reading everything from the New Living Translation. Please listen to the words that God gave Matthew and Paul. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. 1 Corinthians 7, starting at 29. But let me say this, dear brothers and sisters. The time that remains is very short. So from now on, those with wives should not focus only on their marriage. Those who weep or who rejoice or who buy things should not be absorbed by their weeping or their joy or their possessions. Those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them. For this world as we know it will soon pass away. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you bow in prayer with me? Praise you, Lord. God, we just come right now at this preaching moment, and God, indeed, I do need you to minister this word as only you can. God, please move me out of your people's way and move them out of my way so that you can have your way. Bless us to have an encounter with you today through your word. Let not one of my words fall to the ground, but let all find a home where you designated it to be. And then seal the word to us, God, because the time is indeed short. We bind everything that's not like God. And God, we ask that you loose your presence and your power in this place and allow us to see you high and lifted up and see your train fill the temple of the Church of the Redeemer Baptist. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there are a few titles to this sermon. from which I will let you choose. The stage is set. Get ready, because here I come. Does anybody really know what time it is? Now, I have a title. I'll let you know that at the end, but you choose your own. Now, in order to get some work done in my house, I had to pack up everything from the second floor and move it downstairs, everything except the furniture. I'm finding out that this was actually a move of God in my life because I made an awesome discovery. I have way too much stuff. And stuff includes so many things. I gave away 2 file cabinets, 1 used only for storage, and 2 of the other ones, 4 drawers, were used for storage as well. Like most of you, I have storage bins too, full of stuff. 1 for handbags. No, 2. 1 for movies. No, 2, because there's that really cute little small one that looks like a taxi cab that holds the movies I look at over and over on a regular basis, so I need to be able to put my hands on them quickly. We won't talk about the shoes, because I have things to store them in that looks like a bookcase, but it's a case made for shoes. They are designed to hold 15 pairs of shoes, and I have of them, okay? And on top of these shoe cases are boxes of shoes as well. I'm happy to say, though, that at least one of those shoe cases has been converted over to hold boxes of greeting cards, because that's one of the things that God has called me to do, is to be an encourager. So hallelujah, ministry is taking over. I'm hopeful. It seems, saints, that God is in the midst of a purge in my home. And I dare say in my life as well. I've given away so much already, and yet I still have a few more items to release after this season. I have 5 bookcases full of books with 5 shelves on each. And for those of us, you know that top is another shelf. Amen, Minister D. Amen. 4 of those bookcases I acquired on my Christian journey by way of my education and my love for reading. The other bookcase is 95% full of books I purchased with the intention of giving them away, and that's also a part of God's call on my life. But it seems now that at least half of all the other books will have to be given away too. God's doing, not mine, okay? Oh, he's doing the work. Amen. He said, release those who went to the retreat. Let it go. I have no idea how many audio tapes I have that brought me through the first half of my Christian journey that I would love to give to some institution or some individuals that have an interest in either others or themselves growing in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's tons of Christian music as well. Anybody interested? Just let me know. The temptation facing us today as believers is as James Weldon Johnson wrote, lest our feet stray from the places our God where we met thee. Lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Because of the stuff God has allowed us to have. Do we realize the depth and danger of Chris Rice's words? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Somewhere it seems the cry has gone out, as the Bible warns, peace and safety when there is no peace. But today we had better heed Joel's cry as well. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. Stocks have been soaring, although they took a couple of dives this past week and sent a little panic throughout the hearts of investors, as some feared inflation may be coming while we're in the midst of spending, spending, spending. Eat, drink, and be merry. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. Buy some more stuff. Our text today is part of what is considered the prophetic discourse of the book of Matthew. Chapters 24 and 25 deal with the end times and so are considered eschatological in nature, which means they are dealing with future things, end time things. While we need to be watching, looking, expecting our Lord to return, that's not only what we are to be doing. We've got to be about the Lord's business while we're waiting. Serving as he assigned, using the gifts he gave us. Notice that Matthew likens the return of the Lord with a thief who comes unexpectedly. Are we busy doing the will of God? The Lord is going to come back, church, when we least expect him to. Billy Graham, way back in 2009, said, as we watch the downward spiral of our society today, we realize that a powder keg is ready to explode. Something has got to change. Did anybody pay attention to what happened on January the 25th, 2018? It was all over the news. The hands on the doomsday clock were moved to 2 minutes before the apocalypse. The apocalypse is the complete final destruction of the world. A report read, growing concern about a possible nuclear war and other global threats have pushed forward the symbolic doomsday clock by 30 seconds to just 2 minutes before midnight. And we know what midnight means. The bulletin of the Atomic Scientist, BAS Journal, said it had acted because the world was becoming more dangerous. They said their decision wasn't easy. The doomsday clock, created by the journal in 1947, is a metaphor for how close mankind is to destroying the earth. It is now the closest to the apocalypse than it has been since 1953. That was the year that the United States and the Soviet Union tested hydrogen bombs. But we don't need a doomsday clock to let us know the state of the world or that the end is near. We have this book that God left for us, his word. And Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And the word says in Matthew 4:37, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. One commentator described Noah's day as pornographic. See, there's nothing new under the sun. And that it was marked by seven characteristics of spiritual decline. You do know that we are spirit beings having a human experience, and that the spirit world is really what's running this world. And if we could see it right now, there's angels perched in the sanctuary observing us. And there's also spiritual warfare going on in here that we all might receive this word. There's a spirit that wants to lull us to sleep and not listen to this because I can't get my praise on. But there's another spirit shoving you and pinching you and pushing you forward so that you can hear the word that God has prepared for you today, because the time is short. So there's seven characteristics of spiritual decline that were going on in Noah's day. And let's see if it sounds like it's going on in 2018. Social dilemma. Shameless depravity. Scientific development. Some devotion. Strong delusion. And sudden destruction. And it's interesting about the strong delusion, because that's what Jesus chose to deal with. God said there's going to be a time, because the people refuse to love the truth, that he's going to send strong delusion so that the people would believe a lie. Oh, help us today, God. Help us today. When Jesus emphasized that strong delusion, he's in verse 39, he said, the people didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. We have TV and movies and music and stuff. And do we know that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience? Do we know that he is in charge with permission? Do we understand? Do we ever stop to think about why there's a new model car every year? And all it did, they put a little stripe on the little back, what you call them things, brake lights thing, little stripe, so you know that's an 18. But everything else, it's saying, I got me an 18. But one day that's going to be old too. Why is there a different color every season? The color for this season is this and that. It's Satan keeping us running after something rather than running after God. Look at these people who are bound by a telephone. Have to have the new one. I got to have the 10. I got to have this. Oh, no, I got the Android. I got the iPhone. I got this. It's designed by Satan to keep us running after stuff rather than running after God. If somebody tells you to give $1,800, you know that, ain't that what the phone costs? It's $1,000. I don't know how much all of them cost. But if somebody said, bring in an $800 offering in July, I don't know what you're talking about, Willis. I ain't putting that much money in there. What they doing with my money in that church? I don't know what they doing. But what's the phone company doing with your money? They down on the beach laughing. Yeah, we got them running after these phones. Some people have the contract where they get a new phone every 6 months. They can't keep up with all the little changes that they make, but I got the latest phone. It's designed by the prince of the power of the air. Forgive us, God, those who name the name of Christ. The Lord said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people are broke for lack of knowledge because they're spending their money on the wrong things, the things that have no eternal value. Ain't got the nerve to look at somebody because they driving a car. Hallelujah, that's me. 10 years old, 14 years old. I drive my car so they can't run no more. Oh, hallelujah. But, oh, you got that old car? Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for having a car. Amen. We should pack out the Bible study every week. We should pack out Sunday school every week because it's going to teach us how to live in this world. And the closer that we get to the return of the Lord, we better know what the word says. Because the first thing, and we're going to get to that, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, when the disciples asked Jesus, what are going to be the signs of your return? The first thing he says to them is, don't let anybody deceive you. But how are we going to know if we don't know the word? All we know is the scriptures and songs that give us praise. Do you know that scriptures that grab you up in your collar and make you obey God? Oh, we just memorize the bless me scriptures. And some of us don't memorize any at all because I ain't no preacher and I ain't no teacher, so why I gotta memorize the word? But I think that the word is for the Christian. And the psalm writer said, thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So if you have no desire to memorize scripture, that means you like to sin. Oops, there it is. You ain't trying to stop nothing. You ain't trying to change your mood or your attitude, okay? Because the word is going to make a change. Oh, help us, Lord. So the people didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. Some people are going to be sitting up here in Redeemer one day and saying, where's everybody? Where they at? How come you here and I'm here? What's going on? Praise you, Lord. I'm getting ahead of myself. Jesus chose to emphasize the fact that the people of the end times would be deluded by two things. Secular humanism, and that's the belief that man is capable of morality and self-fulfillment without belief in God. You know, people say, I'm a self-made man, I'm a self-made woman. Then there's gross materialism that dominated Noah's time. And I don't think that any of us need gross materialism defined, seeing as how we all have lots of stuff. And please don't compare how much stuff you have with somebody else. Because the only reason you ain't got as much as they have, because you ain't got as much money as they got. Oh, come on, let's tell this thing. Or you just choose not to be in as much debt as they're in. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The people of Noah's day couldn't say they didn't know what was about to happen, because God never leaves himself without a witness. He had Noah preach to the people every day that he worked on the ark. There's no doubt that he was questioned about what he was doing, because it took at least 100 years to build the ark. And let us not forget, it had never rained. They had to do there on the morning, come to rice, come on. But it had never rained. So you imagine going around telling somebody it's going to rain. And they're like, what's rain? And you're going to tell them it's going to rain, and it's going to rain so much. And he's telling us he never changed his sermon, Minister D. He preached the word for that time. That's all you got to do is preach the word. And like somebody said the song, let the word do the work. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Noah was actually preaching the loudest as he worked on that ark every day. No matter what, he wouldn't stop building. Oh. Noah was actually preaching the loudest as he worked on that ark every day. His steadfastness demonstrated his belief. Somebody's watching you, believer. Don't give up. Continue to be steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's somebody who's watching. Some of us stands about this high, sitting behind you and behind on the deacon's row, the little ones sitting back there, the little ones sitting in the pews, they're watching us, and they're learning how to be Christians from us. And I'll let the Holy Ghost have that one. Hallelujah. He's quite capable. What was Noah's motivation? God's word. Because God had said to him in chapter 6, he said, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. And then God gave Noah instructions on exactly how to build the ark. When God gives you instructions exactly, I suggest that you follow them exactly, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else thinks. Do we believe God's word like that, y'all? To the degree that we are willing to look like a fool to the rest of the world? Oh, it's tight, but it's right. God didn't call us to make friends, Rick Henley said. He called us to make disciples. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. In 1970, the rock band Chicago released a song entitled, Does Anybody Really Know What Time Is It? Does anybody really care? If so, I can't imagine why. We've all got time enough to die. Or cry, depending on which, because they use both words. Does anybody in here really know what time it is? Where God is concerned? Do any of us really care? In 1 Corinthians, the scripture says, but let me say this, dear brothers and sisters, the time that remains is very short. So from now on, those with wives should not focus only on their marriage. Those who weep or who rejoice or who buy things should not be absorbed by their weeping or their joy or their possessions. Those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them. For this world as we know it will soon pass away with all of our stuff. The Apostle Paul is warning us to look at the clock and see what time it is, and that time is short. In these verses, he encourages us to reassess a few things, to reassess our marriages, our moods, our materialism, and our motives. He might ask the question today, does anybody really know what time it is where God is concerned? Do we put our marriages before God? I didn't say before the church. I said before God. He said he will have no other gods before him. Do we allow our... Ooh, I want to give him space. Do we put our children before God? Our grandchildren before God? Because all those things that we want to buy them, God didn't say do to all that. We're sitting here praying for them on one hand, and then we get up from the prayer and we mess them up on the other hand, giving them too much stuff. God forgive us. Do we allow ourselves to be governed by how we feel and so are swayed by our moods and attitudes? Or have we yet realized that walking by faith is in spite of my particular mood on any given day? As Paul said, we're reassessing the marriage, the moods, the attitudes. Do we just have to have that fill in the blank? God already told you it's yours. But his timing is so frustrating for most of us. Let the church say amen. Amen. So are we going to get that thing on our own because we could care less that the Lord may return on May 6, 2018? And he just might be leading us to use that money for missions or for the Sunday school or for VBS supplies or even Girl Scout cookies. Because the money for those cookies helps those girls to take trips and things. You don't have to eat the cookies. You can give them away. But somebody here said, oh, I can go buy them cookies now. She told me that. That's all they heard in the whole message. I can go buy them cookies now. God, help us. Help us. Let's stop spending excessively. Look around your house or the place that you live, and see, don't you have too much stuff? Give it away. The excess, or even some of your most prized possessions. Peter, do you love me more than these? Bell tolls. For whom does the bell toll? Ah, time is shorter than we know. Did you hear the trumpet sound? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Go ahead, Holy Ghost, work it out. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus will work it out. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, he's got it like that. He's just awesome, isn't he? He's just awesome. Hallelujah to the Lord. Praise you, Lord. And do we ever take a peek at our motives for all those things we say we do for the Lord or for his glory? The stage is set. We need to get ready because here he comes. Does anybody really know what time it is? Watch ye, therefore, you know not the day when the Lord shall call your soul away. If you labor striving for the right, you shall wear robe and crown. Again, the word says people didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man returns. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Let's make this thing live for us today, because we don't know about those mills and things. 60 folks on the subway, 12 taken, 48 left behind. 8 working behind the counter of your favorite fast food restaurant. 3 taken, 5 left. 6 tellers working at the bank of your choice, and in spite of everyone having to pass through the security doors to enter, 5 tellers will be taken and 1/3 of the customers, and the other teller and the other 2/3 of the customers will be left behind. There's 50 houses on your block, which means there are at least 100 people there, but only 14 will be taken. And 86 left. Out of the 600 that can be seated in this sanctuary, how many will be taken? And how many will be left? Most of the times there's 3 preachers sitting up on the rostrum. Well, but the 3 that sit up here, we will be taken. Oh, hallelujah. But please note this morning, titles are no guarantee. Oh, hallelujah. It's tight, but it's right. Be careful how you judge who's going to be there. There will be surprises as to who's there, sort of like the collaboration of Tasha Cobbs and Nicki Minaj. But there will be even more surprises as to who's not there. The Eagles parade crowd, 700,000, 1 million, 2 million. How many of them will be taken? How many of them will be left? I remember we were down the shore a couple summers ago, me and 2 friends from our first church. We got together at a little reunion. We were walking down the boardwalk and seeing all the people. And then one of them asked, how many of these people out here you think are saved? How many are going to be taken? I pray that everywhere we go from now on, that we think about that. If we step on the bus, 60 people on the bus, how many of them are going to be taken and how many are going to be left? That should make us do something. Just maybe, y'all, the time we are least concerned about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is the time we may very well need to be the most concerned. Back to that thief. When our guard is down, that's when the thief strikes. When our guard is down, that's when the Lord is going to come. When the disciples asked Jesus what would be the sign of his return, these are the answers he gave them. And they are all found in Matthew 24. And oh yes, they're all still the same. He said many are going to come claiming to be the Messiah. Don't you be deceived. Wars, threats, rumors of wars, but don't panic. Famines, earthquakes in many parts of the world. Does it sound like I'm reading from today's news script? But he said, all of this is just the beginning of sorrows. The end is not yet. So he's saying, don't panic. There's going to be persecution of the church and death. And you will be hated because of him. Then there's going to come that great falling away, what they call the apostasy, the great apostasy, where many Christians, professing Christians, are going to fall away. And I know my mother said it years ago, just because when people, they talk about the apostasy, about them falling away, it doesn't mean they're going to stop coming to church. But they will have fallen away from the Lord. Many false prophets will appear and deceive. And because of the increase of evil, the love of many will grow cold. Be firm. Stand firm. You will be saved. And then the gospel is going to be preached worldwide. And then the end will come. I dare say the gospel is in every part of the world being preached today, thanks to the technology. In Revelation 22:10-13, we have the Lord Jesus speaking to the Apostle John. Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And here's my title. Behold, he comes. Hallelujah. As you rest on your feet, and as the deacons come, God brought you here today to let you know just how short the time is. No more time for business as usual. Number one, if you're not saved, you better get saved. Number two, if you are saved, you better get about the Lord's business. And number three, if you are saved and you don't have a home church, you need to get one, not necessarily Redeemer, seek the Spirit's leading. Also, if you're saved and you've been living your own way, time is short, you better recommit yourself to the Lord today. Don't worry about anybody else in here. There's the three calls going out. If you're not saved, today is your day. So come on down the aisle. If you are saved but you've been doing you instead of doing Jesus, come on down the aisle so somebody can pray and you can rededicate yourself to the Lord. And then the third call, if you've been visiting here or you just visited today and the Lord is leading you to become a part of our fellowship, then you come. But this is a day for everyone that's been born again to make a firm commitment. Hallelujah. There's one. Thank you, Lord. Somebody wrote in a book that the church is the devil's playground. Well, we're going to put him out of the Church of the Redeemer Baptist, and he's not going to be able to play anymore in here. So if you're going to be about the Lord's business, you can stay. But if not, I bid you farewell. Oh, amen. Because we're going to do this thing for the Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Time is short. Time for playing church is over. Time for not serving God is over. You got gifts. You better get about using them quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because he's coming. And he said when he comes, his reward is with him. We want to hear him say, well done. But for what if you're not doing anything?
Will you be ready?
Behold, he comes. Will you bow in prayer with me? God, we bless you and we praise you right now for this word. And we ask that you seal it to us by your Spirit. We ask that you repeat it over to us night and day and night until we're all lined up with your will. Have your way, Lord God. We thank you for bringing the brother forth this morning. If there's anyone else who wants to come and give their life to you, bless them to come. Bless somebody to come also. There's a few in here, God, that need to make a fresh commitment. Help them to take that walk down the aisle and not worry about what other people think. Because we're doing soul business. We're doing heavenly business. This is all about you. You put the challenge out there to us, God. you're soon to come and help us to get ready. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.